Well, grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, newly risen Savior, Jesus the Christ.
Amen.
I bumped into an old friend last week, and he asked me if I was excited for the week of April 21st. And I was like, well, duh, yeah, you know, I am a pastor. How can you not be excited about Easter, I thought. But he just sort of ignored me, and he continued. He says, you know, I already have my seat picked out. And I could tell from his voice that he was very excited. You do? I was sort of shocked at first. Then I remembered he was a Lutheran. And we all know Lutherans know where they're supposed to be sitting, right? Unless someone else is sitting there. And he continued. He said, you bet. I know where I'm sitting. I got front row tickets. I'm like, wow. I thought front row for Lutherans is going to be one heck of a church service because I can see how many people sit in the front row. So I was excited. They had tickets. I'm like, what kind of church are you going to? I asked them, so what church service are you going to on Easter Sunday? And then he looked shocked. Church? Don't you know Avengers Endgame is coming out next week? I was sort of like, yeah, I sort of forgot that was coming out because of Easter, I replied. And he just looked incredulous at me, grabbed both of my shoulders, and in a very excited voice said, what can be occupying your thoughts this week? I mean, it's only a story years in the making. We got to find out who's going to save half of the known universe from death. I mean, how is goodness and justice going to carry the day? Paul, what are your priorities? Now, in some sense, my friend was right. This week, today, we're going to hear a story, which is many years in the making, thousands to be exact. Instead of wondering who is going to save half of the known universe, we're going to find out who saved the entire universe from sin and death. And finally, we will find out today, spoiler alert for all of you out there, how justice, mercy, and love carry the day from sin, hate, and death. Welcome to Easter morning. Now, believe it or not, the gospel is very cinematic about this life-changing and history-altering event. But you don't have to take my word for it. So as we do every week, I'd like you to open those Pew Bibles in front of you or your Bible apps. We're going to go to Matthew chapter 28, which can be found on page 811 of those black Bibles in front of you. Again, Matthew 28, found on page 811. And while you're getting there, let me set the stage for this cliffhanger that we were left with on Friday. Jesus died on a cross 3 days ago. In the midst of the torture, pain, and shame he went through on the cross, many of his followers, his friends, and yes, even his family members deserted him. That was where we were at on the dark night of the soul, which was Good Friday. Now, the chief priests and the religious authorities were worried that his disciples might steal Jesus' body because they had heard Jesus say that he would rise from the dead. So when the body was placed in the tomb, the authorities rolled a huge boulder in front of the tomb, and they stationed armed guards. Nobody, and I mean nobody, from the outside was going to get in and take that body. Now, two of Jesus' followers knew that they couldn't get into the tomb to see the beloved master, but yet they were still drawn to the tomb, like many of us were drawn here today to service, because we needed to know what was going to happen next. I think if we're honest with ourselves, they needed to know that hope was still alive. So let's take a look at verse 1. So after the Sabbath, as the first day of the week was dawning, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to see the tomb. And suddenly, there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord descending from heaven came down, and rolling back the stone and set on it. His appearance was like lightning, and his clothing white as snow. For fear of him, the guards shook. It became like dead men. Can't you just see that in your mind's eye? Wouldn't this be an awesome action scene to see in a movie? The angel peering out of the sky and landing in some striking fashion. And then with dramatic purpose, the angel approaches the tomb. The guards all seem to faint and fall to the ground roughly. The angel uses one hand, no, one finger, and easily maneuvers the boulder out of the way, just far enough away that the empty tomb is revealed. And then the angel gracefully lands on top of the boulder. The angel says this in verse 6, "He," meaning Jesus, "is not here. For Jesus has been raised," he said. "Come, see the place where he's laid. Now go quickly and tell his disciples, he has been raised from the dead and is indeed going ahead of you to Galilee. There you will see him. This is my message for you." So the woman left the tomb quickly with fear and great joy, and they ran. They ran to tell his disciples. I don't know about you, but I still get goosebumps when I hear this message. The angel said he has been raised from the dead. And oh, by the way, don't take my word for it. You're going to meet him here very soon. And the women did. They got to touch him. They got to see that he was not a ghost. He was not a figment of his imagination. Now, this is an amazing message because it shows us that God honors God's promise. That Jesus really was the Son of God who was sent down here on a mission of grace and of truth. That nothing is impossible when we lean on God. And I think the next one is something that all of us need from time to time. We know that we have a Savior who walks with us through those ups and downs of life. And will even be with us through death. And will be there to welcome us home to heaven. Finally, it shows us that indeed hate and death don't rule the world. Believe it or not, they don't get the final say. But what wins in the end is God's love, God's truth, and God's mercy. Now, if you don't think this matters in our world today, I would go back to the excitement around superheroes in our present culture. I have found as a movie critic that movies are a reflection into what is gripping a society's soul. And the reason that superheroes and heroine movies are so popular right now is that we feel that somebody needs to save us. We need someone to step up for truth. We need someone to defend the weak and tell us that the powers of evil and darkness don't win. Now, we have all that right here in the Bible. And I would argue that Jesus is better than any superhero because Jesus actually cares about you and about me. And what more, the part that I think that we need to hear day and day and day every day, Jesus actually wants to walk through life with you, the good, and even more importantly, the bad. Now, Jesus has destroyed death, brought truth, and God's abounding grace into our world, and cares for us like a good, loving parent cares for their child. So on this Easter morning, ask yourself, what does it mean to you that there's a Savior who is willing to come into your life and walk alongside you? Does it mean knowing that you don't have to worry about death? What does it mean to know you live your life knowing that death and hate don't win the day, but instead love does, that hope does, and that peace does? And then the most important question, how does that change you? How do you live differently today because of this Easter message? Because the message of Easter is one that demands a response from us. It calls us into action. So what are you going to do? How is your life different today, this minute, this hour? So what are you going to do? How is God asking you to change? When you hear these words, "He is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. Happy Easter." Amen.